We are going to finish our series called United with Christ. We've been talking about being crucified with Christ and being buried with Christ. And of course, today on this Easter Sunday, talking about what it means to be raised with Christ. So I might start out by asking you a question. If I were to come to you and offer you $10 right now, or I would say I'll come back in a week and give you $11, which one would you take? 10. I'm hearing answers. Now, I'm not a banker. I'm not an accountant. You might have other answers for me, but 10% in 1 week seems pretty good. That seems like a pretty good rate if you can wait for that. But a researcher from Virginia Tech did some studies and found that many people wanted the $10 now. And it's not because they couldn't do math. It's because I'm just not sure about a week from now. Things could happen. I might need the $10. This guy who said he would bring me 11 might not come back again. Now, you might not be familiar with that study, but many more of you might be familiar with the Stanford study in the 1960s, where they put these poor kids in front of a marshmallow and saw if they could wait it out. They said, if you can wait a certain amount of time, I'll bring you another marshmallow and you can have two. These poor kids sat there and fidgeted and squirmed and covered their eyes and tried anything they could not to eat that marshmallow. Many of them could not resist. Now, what we found since then is that it's not fair to just assume all kids should have the same restraint. Some people come from backgrounds with a lot of food insecurity, right? And so I'm not sure if that next meal is going to show up. I am going to take what's in front of me now. Because in a world filled with things that are uncertain, we want something that is certain. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, Paul is writing to a church who is filled with uncertainty. And he wants to remind them of God's grace and mercy to them. And Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So you note all the wonderful things there about God's kindness. He's rich in mercy, his saving grace. But I want to draw your attention to these verbs that he says. He says, God raised us up and God made us alive in Christ. The tense doesn't seem right there, does it? Paul's talking about something as though it's already happened. And we know, we look around, that he has not raised us up yet. Our bodies are not perfect yet. We know that because we're all out there doing the whole 30s and cleanses and different exercise regimens and some touch-up procedures. We know our bodies are not perfect yet. And on a more serious note, we look at the world around us and we see all the disease and sickness. Some of you are struggling with that right now. Your bodies are far from perfect. You're dealing with treatments. You've got a loved one who's sick. You've got a loved one who passed away. And you look around and you say, Paul raised us up? There's no way. Maybe at some point, but why are you talking about that as though it's already happened? I can look around and see that's not how things are going right now. Some years ago, I learned of a concept from a professor at Lipscomb University named Lee Camp. And he taught me this. It's a literary device called prolepsis. Prolepsis involves describing a future event as though it has already happened, or speaking of the future as though it's a present reality. Two examples might ring true to you for this. Number one, we have five people in our house, and so when we're getting ready to go somewhere, we aren't always ready at the same time or on the same schedule. And so it's a frequent occurrence that one of the adults in the house will be in our laundry room getting ready to walk out the door and will yell up the stairs, "We're in the car!" Now, we are not technically in the car. But I am so certain that we're about to be in the car that I speak of it as though it's already happening in order to motivate other people in our house to get to the car. Or another thing, every now and then, if Aubrey is running an errand, I will commit to getting something done while she's gone. Something around the house. Yeah, I'll finish that laundry. I'll get this picked up. Now, you might be better than I am, but I'm not going to start doing it as soon as she leaves. I'm going to wait until the last possible minute, get it done in a hurry, so that as soon as she walks in, that's when I'm finishing up, and voila, here we go. Now, my iPhone used to help me with this, because you could use that little Find My Friends feature to set an alert when someone left, so it's like, when she leaves Target, let me know, and then I will start the chore. Now, that feature still works, but now it tells her, it tells the other person when you set the alert. So I'm busted. Doesn't work. But most of the time, and you may do this too, you just keep each other posted, like, I'm headed out, or I'm on my way. And it's very important for me to know exactly what that means. Like, do you mean you're in the checkout line? Do you mean that you've gotten in the car? Like, at what point are you actually on your way? Because I just need to know when to start doing the work I said I would do. But sometimes we'll say, I'm on my way, before we have even begun to move towards somebody. But we're so certain that we're going to be on our way, we speak of it as though it's already happening. So Paul says, God raised us up and made us alive. Paul is so certain of the resurrection that he speaks of it as though it's already happening, because it is. God is already at work in us. And if that's the case, so what? If resurrection is already at work among God's people, what does that mean? Paul tells us in another letter to the Colossians, he says, since you have been raised with Christ, there's that past tense, since you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not earthly things. And we know what Paul means by earthly things because he goes on to list them. It's lust and greed and malice and slander and all those kinds of sinful behaviors. But since we've been raised with Christ, it changes our mindset, our focus, our hope, even now, not just later. And he says, you have taken off your old self with its practices already, and you have put on your new self, which is being renewed. Not will be, not at some point you can look forward to, is being renewed. And he finishes out by saying, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So Paul is going to tell us, what do people who are being raised, who have been raised, what does it look like to be resurrection people? It's people who practice compassion and humility and gentleness and patience and forgiveness and love. And we do that because resurrection matters now. We've been sold a bill of goods that says, when you die, you'll float up to heaven with your little angel wings and a harp and sing all these songs without your body. You'll just be this little spirit floating around. And we've been told, God will fix things eventually. Everything's about the future. Just put your hope there and just grit your teeth and put up with it now. And that is not what Paul says. Paul says that you have been raised, that it is in process. You're already being made new. It's not just something to hope for in the sweet by and by. God is at work in you now. And he says that in the passage that David said to us earlier in Ephesians. Paul says, I want you to know God's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power, the one that's in us, is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. You, friends, are filled with that resurrection power now. Not later, not just after you die, but now. If you really believe that, how might it change our outlook? If you are just mired in grief right now because you've lost a loved one, first of all, I want to tell you that the person you love who died, who's in Christ, you're going to see them again. I'm certain of that. But it's not just wait till later and maybe it'll be better. Right now, God is at work in you with your grief. If you're knee-deep in some sin and you've got some habit or practice or something that you just can't kick, it's not wait till later for God to fix things. Right now, resurrection power is at work in you. The same power that put a dead person back to life is at work in you. And if you're just racked with anxiety right now, you read all the headlines and you're reminded once again that this is the most important election year ever. They keep saying that every time. Maybe it's going to be okay. And I'm not saying the stakes aren't higher, that it doesn't matter, but where's your focus? And if all you can see is this short term, because you think resurrection is just something for later, and I'll get to that at some point, but right now, don't you know all these things are happening? Yes, but resurrection power is at work even right now. You don't have to just put your hope in something that's far off that might come around, in the person that might show back up with the extra dollar, in the person who might bring the second marshmallow. God is at work even now. You are filled with that power now. So here's just what I want to say to you. In a world full of things that are uncertain, we want something that is certain. And thanks be to God, we have it. Let's stand and sing.